listening to Tommy, David, and Roger from the Antique Brick Outdoor Studio. It's time for College Football Talk with former All-American and two-time Super Bowl winner and current ESPN College Scoreboard Analyst, Mark May. Brought to you by Edward Food Giant, The Meat People, and Firestone Complete Auto Care. Together, we keep your car running newer, longer.
To our favorite Redskin, and he's got a lot to say. Defended Tyler Wilson the other day.
Wow, great final verdict.
Randy White was in town this week.
Oh, yes.
We heard some stuff about our good friend Mark May. Good morning, Mark.
Well, you guys really don't want me coming on this show today.
I know.
You're crazy.
Hey, you are my lifeline to what is right in the world. I got these Cowboy fans all around me. And then they go to Seattle and they get beat and they turn back into the Cowboy fans they were. Romo sucks. Fire the
No,
coach.
Not me. Never said it.
And let's start off the bat by just wishing you good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark.
And I sensed in the final verdict – This whole Arkansas thing has turned into a clown show, but the final verdict between you and Holtz, I detected more passion in Lou Holtz's voice than I've heard in a long time.
Because he was begging for a victory. He didn't get one. but there was a lot to that we both felt passionate about, because it was two different sides. He was taking it from a coach's view, as he always does. Now he's taking it from a player's view. Where a lot of times players take things personally because it's their deal. This is his opportunity. It's his senior year. They want to do something special. That's one of the reasons why they came back. And it means a heck of a lot to these players. And coaches don't understand sometimes that the players are very passionate about it. And still, you know, it's not what it used to be, the way the players treat the game. It's changed over time with social media and stuff like that. But these players do care a lot about this game. And it was just his passion. It was the way that they were showing it. And it's just a different way from the old days.
If you ever get the chance, on a local TV station here, they show every Wednesday night old Razorback games. And they picked the 78 Orange Bowl, which Holtz was the coach of. And so you got to figure he's 35 years younger or whatever. And the type of persona he displayed on the sidelines, and they had him mic'd up. You, of all people, ought to watch that because you'll get a big kick out of it.
I just want to know what the pants look like.
They were solid red.
Solid red. Oh, man, they weren't checkerboard or anything.
No, we had
some
checkerboard.
Yeah, but the Roland Sales was a few yards away, 20 yards away from breaking the record, and he calls Houston Nutover, who is the quarterback for Arkansas at the time.
Third.
And he pulls him over, and he says, "You tell Sales to suck it up. We want him to get this record." Because they beat Oklahoma badly. But I think you, having worked with him, and I don't know if you ever watched him coach that far back, but hell, he had Harry. It was a whole different Lou.
We got to ask, Mark, you're on the national scene for college football. What is the perception? Ironically, you're doing a show now. This is your third year with us, with a program now that has become a national talking point, whether it be for drama or for wins or whatever. What is the perception, do you think, nationally of the Arkansas program right now?
Well, it's taken a step back, because going into the season, the gains that were made the last few years in the Petrino era and the Jeff Long era have been astronomical, bringing Arkansas back to the limelight again. Being on national television with their spring game a few years ago, what they were able to do, because at least people had an opportunity to see something more about the program and where it's taken the next step to and the next level to, then getting to the Cotton Bowl and then to the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, it's right now you're on the national scene. And unfortunately, because of the Petrino situation in the spring and now the way that the team has started off, there are high aspirations for this football team. People are waiting to see, you know, where they're going to go, especially what happened with the Petrino situation, because with Bobby Petrino, if that situation didn't happen in the spring, remember, guys, 6 months ago, you're talking about a team that has national championship aspirations. But then all of a sudden, with the Petrino situation, it had taken a step back, maybe two steps back, because with Bobby being dismissed, okay, John L. Smith's brought in this situation, and okay, how's this going to work out? How are the dynamics going to work out? He's got a 10-month contract. You know, as far as the respect goes as the national media and the fans and the players, you know, how far does he take this thing as the head coach? Because everybody knows in 10 months from the day that he was hired, he's gone.
Yeah. Well, I think that he's gotten more national exposure than Petrino did, but for all the wrong reasons.
Absolutely. I mean, this thing that's happened the last couple of times when he gets in front of the media, That's the old John L. that we saw at the Michigan State that we were screwing around and having fun before. The players are playing their butts off. The coaches are screwing it up.
Right.
And then him slapping himself in front of the media and the cameras at Louisville. That's the John L. Smith you don't want to have, particularly in this situation. You know, coming off an embarrassing loss, you were shut out by Alabama, then the embarrassing loss of Louisiana Monroe. That's what you don't have want to have come out in this situation. You want somebody that's stoic, that's sitting in front of the cameras, that's just saying, we got a problem that we've got to change. We've got to get this ship right. We've got to do the right things. We're going to find a way to get it done. That's the person you want to see on a national stage.
We don't have that now, and it has become a point where David said a while ago, I could see Arkansas beating Rutgers. Stranger things have happened. We've now dropped to that level
Yes. Where
we're saying if Arkansas beats Rutgers, that could be considered by some to be a strange thing. We're going into the season. I think they noticed Rutgers, that they would be a little bit better than your Jacksonville State, but not that much. And now it's a do-or-die deal.
It is. And this Rutgers team is a better team than most people thought. You have to look at this team. When Greg Schiano left this team, you didn't think that they would be very good because for a while they didn't know who the coach was going to be. Then they appointed somebody that was on staff as the head coach. Here's the situation when you're looking at a team that they're just coming off a big victory over South Florida. They've got one of the top running backs in the nation in Juwan Jameson. He's averaging 125 yards a game. This team's undefeated this year, and if you look at them defensively, they're in some of the top defensive statistics defensively. They're fifth in scoring defense.
Yep.
They're only giving up 8 points a game, and they're doing all the right things. They're not making lots of mistakes. They're not turning the ball over a lot. You know, this game could be a lot closer than people think. And I look down, and Arkansas is a 7-point favorite. Is Tyler Wilson going to play? Is he going to play the entire game? Can he play the entire game? That's huge in this game because the two quarterback platoon system thing did not work, in my opinion, against Alabama. Obviously,
no.
Just let one guy play.
Yeah.
You know, because you're confusing. The players are confused enough with what's going on. The players are confused enough.
That never works. That never works.
Mark, don't you think if Tyler Wilson plays, I mean, this Razorback team should beat Rutgers?
If he plays and everything goes well, yes. But right now, these players are in such a hole mentally. I mean, their psyche has to be so low. Their esteem has to be so low because which way do they go? I mean, you know, all these players thought that this was going to be a great year. You know, we're supposed to have a really good year. You know, if we can get Alabama and LSU at home and have a chance to beat one of those two or maybe both of us,
right,
we've got a shot to have a special season.
Yep.
Now these players are looking at each other. When something goes bad, who do they turn to? That's what I said on television last week in Final Verdict. This is a ship that's at sea and it's rudderless because your quarterback is supposed to be your leader. He's injured. And right now he's critical of the administration and some of the players. You've got a head coach that's doing all these crazy antics on national television and in the media, and these players are sitting around in the locker room saying, wait a minute. You know, we're the ones that are on the field. We're the ones that are going out there playing this game, taking all these hits. We thought we'd have a special season. Who's leading us now?
Well, we have spoken on the show. I borrow from Pat Bradley, the Midday Show. It would be cool if John L. Smith showed up on the sideline in a Napoleon Bonaparte outfit.
Oh, gosh.
And just said, I'm the captain of this ship. I'm in. Because he's nuts. I mean, you've seen the smile video, and that just to me is over the edge, just way over the top.
Yeah.
Who else in the SEC have you looked at this year and gone, wow, I didn't expect this?
In the SEC,
yeah,
you got to look at Florida. You know, I remember I was really high on Tennessee, and Tennessee fought to the end, and it was one of those games where it just didn't go well for them at the end of the game. But Florida, the strides that they've made, and particularly the halftime adjustments that Will Muschamp made. Look at those games against Texas A&M and Tennessee.
Right, where he wins.
I mean, second half, that's tough to do for a football team and a young football team with a quarterback that's started his second game in his career. I mean, that's tough to do on the road. He's got two wins on the road in the SEC. In three of the start, that's amazing.
And they were two pretty tough games.
If Florida gets LSU at home, they get South Carolina at home. They have to play Georgia in the world's largest cocktail party. South Carolina's got a real tough road the rest of the year, and Georgia basically has two games left, and that's Florida and South Carolina. So, I think Will Muschamp, you know, getting those two road wins early and the way they did it could set a tempo for that program for the next few years as far as toughness. That mentality. You know, they're running the ball, Mark, and running it well.
And the thing is, they're running the ball with not a big running back.
Their
running back's only 5'10", 200 pounds. And Gallifley is like, he's just a tough guy. Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not really big. He's not, you know, considered like a big, bruising SEC running back at 230 pounds, but he's toughing it out and getting the job done. And Brett Pease, our offensive coordinator, is doing a terrific job of managing the football game, putting his players in positions where they can move the ball offensively. And, you know, if they get big plays offensively, great. If not, move the chains. Get the first downs, eat up the clock.
Well, we got a few games. They're starting to come together, and we're like Florida State.
That's a big game, Tommy.
I understand that, but I think Florida State's stats are so inflated because of who they play. You know, they're number one in this and number one in that. But they played Savannah State, you know, anytime you got the clock run rule.
Who do you like in that game, Mark?
You still have to like Florida, just the way that they play. Even though they haven't played anybody, that was impressive against Wake. They're finally able to run the football. And we're gonna find out about Clemson. Clemson's not a good run defense. That's their key. They've got to find a way to stop the running game, and Florida State can finally run it. And when you've got Manuel, a quarterback, if he can get a semblance of a running game, he's a much better quarterback, and he's much more confident in the pocket. But it's their defense that leads them. Mark Stoops has done a terrific job. They've recruited well. They've got depth. And not only that, when I say recruited well, they've developed the players. You know, I always look at these things as like I was so high on Auburn because they've had three consecutive top 10 recruiting classes. Well, they haven't developed those players. But the one thing about Florida State is they develop those players to become great players. And, you know, this is going to be their biggest test of the season, obviously, but I still think at home, you know, they're jacked up for this game. They've waited for this game for 3 years. They waited for a game like this. They thought Oklahoma last year would be their game. They got slapped around in that game.
Yep.
But this is their second chance to be on a national stage to see if they've taken that next step.
A game that I like to watch. I know that you're not the biggest Notre Dame fan in the world. Michigan State, they took them on last week, and I think Michigan State's better than Michigan. I don't know that to be the case. You might not. That is the game this week, the Notre Dame and Michigan.
Yeah, I thought all of us thought Michigan State was a better football team, but I'll tell you one thing. Brian Kelly had one heck of a game plan, came out with some misdirection plays, caught Michigan State off guard. Everett Golston played not a great game, but he made plays when he had to at the quarterback position. So, you know, Notre Dame is one of those teams that people are starting to, like, wake up the echoes. They're 3-0 for the first time in over a decade.
Are you buying into
that?
No!
And here's the thing that's bad. It's like some of the teams on their schedule you thought would be a challenger to definitely beat them are now falling by the wayside, like the USC's. Teams like that, it's like, you know, these are teams that you thought that would beat them.
Yeah.
One thing about Michigan, Denard Robinson the last 2 years has had their number. He's got over 940 yards in total offense last 2 years.
I didn't know that.
Good
Lord.
Oh, yeah. He's been killing them. I mean, he's got 8 touchdowns himself. He's been the guy that slays Notre Dame every year. He's found a way to beat them. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can do it for the third season in a row. And actually, in his career, this would be 4 consecutive wins against Notre Dame because his freshman year they won the game.
Wow. Well, I think that the Notre Dame schedule is going to play out this year, and you'll find out for sure. Is he that brilliant of a coach?
He's a good coach. He's a very, very good coach. Fundamentally, so here's the key about Notre Dame. Look at their turnovers from last year to this year at this point. Last year at this time, I think in 3 games, they had like 11 turnovers. Now they've got 1. And that's a huge statistic. If you're not turning the ball over, you know, you put yourself in position to win games. So if you go back to last year, those 2 losses, the first 2 games, they don't turn the ball over or even half as much as the 10 turnovers they had, they win.
Well,
it's a different season for them last year.
I'm of the mindset, and I know you won't like this. I think that when Notre Dame's playing good and the Dallas Cowboys are playing good, both sports benefit.
That's your opinion.
And the country does better. And the country is better off.
Yeah, gasoline prices go down.
Inflation goes down. I got real quick, South Carolina, Missouri. Missouri stand a chance?
If Franklin plays at the quarterback position, because last week they did beat Arizona State, but they were just sluggish in the second half. With him in there, if Tony Franklin, they probably scored another 2 touchdowns.
Well, there have been a lot of injuries, and we'll talk about that next week. Always good to talk to you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, it's always a great day when the Cowboys lose.
Why don't you just let it go? Why don't you leave a lesson? I got nothing for you right now. I thought the team did great. I really did. They stunk it up at first, and that's what happened. We're worried about Felix Jones' jersey prices in Dallas right now, but I got no complaints.
Mark, you just smile. Smile.
Smile.
We'll talk to you next week,
Mark.
Buddy.
Go Cowboys!
All right. Have a great one, guys.
Bye-bye. Yeah.